God's Word again from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. I won't read the entire text, but the first 7 verses again. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. And then he anointed the man's eye with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This is God's Word. Please be seated. Well, reading this text, all 41 verses of the Gospel reading, and trying to pick one thing to speak about is like a kid in a candy store with $10,000 worth of choices and only $1 to spend. There is so much that is so rich in this text that we could spend our time on and spend it very well. We could spend our time talking about the graciousness of God by which he gives this gift to this man born blind, though this man neither asked for it nor did he deserve it. We could spend time talking about the healing virtue of everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, such that even his spittle is more precious and more powerfully healing than all the balm in Gilead. We could spend time talking about the urgency of doing the Lord's work, for the time is fast approaching when there will be no more opportunity to do so. There are $10,000 worth of choices in this text, and I only have a dollar's worth of time. So let me try to focus on 3 things that I'm going to call bane, blindness, and bliss. Bane, first of all. Now, there's a word you don't probably use every day, kind of an old-fashioned word, and probably the only time most of us use it is in the hymn that we just sang. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Bane means curse or nuisance or irritation. Bane is something that goes wrong in your life. It is a problem that is annoying you. For this blind man, his bane is obvious. He is blind. And then that raises a question by the disciples. Why? Why does this man have to suffer the bane of blindness? And for that matter, why does anyone have to suffer any kind of bane in their lives? And the presumption of the disciples, of course, is that this man had done something, or perhaps his parents had done something to deserve this. And so they said, "Rabbi, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" It's the million-dollar question that we ask whenever bane comes into somebody's life or into our own life. Why do we have to suffer this? Is God perhaps punishing us for something we did, or maybe our parents did? It's the same basic argument that Job's friends made to him and said, "Job, you are suffering because of something you did." Thankfully, though, Jesus clears this matter up in such beautiful fashion and so succinctly. He simply says, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Listen, people, bane is not about punishment. Not if you believe the message of the cross. The punishment of sin is done. It was done when Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. It was done when he was stricken for our sins. It was done when our punishment was laid upon him. And he declared from the cross, "Father, forgive them," and then said, "It's finished." If the problems of our lives were about the punishment of our sins, let me tell you, we would have a whole lot more bane in our lives than we have right now. But the psalmist said it so well. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. If he did, we would all be blind and deaf and deformed and diseased all the time. But, as we just sang, Bane is not about punishment. Bane has now been sanctified by the cross of Jesus Christ for a higher purpose than punishment. Bane is about God's work being accomplished in us. And God's work is accomplished in us when our problems have taught us to love this fallen world less and to love God's kingdom more. God's purpose has been accomplished in us when our problems have taught us to be more considerate and more compassionate of one another. God's work has been accomplished in us when our problems teach us to lean upon the Lord and to await His timing and His deliverance and to persevere in faith, just as this blind man had learned, for he heard the Lord and he believed His word and he was healed. The second point is the blindness in this text. And I'm not talking about the most obvious blindness of this man who had been born blind, but of all of the spiritual blindness that surrounded Jesus Christ. Physical blindness, that can be healed. That's not such a big problem compared to the spiritual blindness that resists healing. I don't know if you caught it this past week, speaking of the physical healing of blindness, but there is a story out of Dublin, Ireland, of a man who had been blinded by an explosion 2 years ago, and it had destroyed the corneas in his eyes. But the doctors were able to take a tooth from the mouth of his son and some of the bone structure at the base of the tooth, and they built that tooth into his eye socket with the tooth inside the eye. They drilled a hole through the tooth and put a lens in that hole, and now this man can actually see again through this tooth in his eye. Isn't that something? Talk about your eye tooth, right? It really happened. You know, physical blindness, it can sometimes be healed. That's not the biggest problem. It's the spiritual blindness that resists healing. Even when this blind beggar tells them, and you remember the story, he told them repeatedly over and over again how Jesus had cured his blindness, even then these religious leaders just steadfastly refused to see what this miracle meant. This was the work of God that was being accomplished through this man. This was the work of God's Messiah, as the prophets had foretold, and these religious leaders should have seen it. But instead they called Jesus a sinner. They refused to believe him. To which this man, born blind, very simply and so beautifully testifies. He says, whether Jesus is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And by the way, on this Lutheran Hour Sunday, the witness of this man is a powerful reminder to all of us of what we are supposed to be doing as witnesses of Jesus Christ. It is not the witness's job to try to convince anyone of anything. Witnesses are only supposed to say, this is what Jesus has done for me. And then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. This is the approach that has made the Lutheran Hour broadcast such a unique media ministry among all of the media ministries that are out there. It makes no attempt to convince anyone of anything by telling people what their itching ears want to hear. It simply proclaims Christ to the nations and then lets the Holy Spirit take over. And in the end, that is the only way to attack spiritual blindness, isn't it? If you've got people in your life, loved ones of yours, who do not yet see Jesus Christ, who are still blinded to His gospel, you only need to tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you. Tell them of the forgiveness of your sins, which has released you from that terrible burden of guilt. Tell them of the joy of salvation that gives you hope even in the midst of your life's problems. Tell them of the hope that is in you because Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose and ascended. That's all you need to do. And then pray that the Holy Spirit will take that seed and give it growth. And the third message of this story that I wanted to cover today is one that is the least obvious, but I want you to see this. I want to try to teach you to see the miracles of our Lord Jesus in a new and exciting way. Because every miracle of our Lord, you see, proclaims the hope of a new world and the bliss of eternal life. And it takes spiritual eyes to see this, but it's crucial that you do see this. Because in this story, Jesus does not just heal a blind man. But this work of God in this man is pointing us to something much, much bigger and much better that God is doing in this world through Jesus Christ. This miracle is a mustard seed. And it has within it the promise of what God is going to one day bring about when the heavens and the earth are recreated on that great day of the Lord. On that day, all blindness and darkness and sickness and sin and death and tears and sadness and deafness will all be gone. And we hear that loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is now with man. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former order of things has passed away. Behold, I am making all things new." That's what this miracle is really about. It is about God in the process of making things new again, until He finally makes everything new at the end of time. Think about it. What happens when blindness meets the light of the world? What happens when lost sheep meet the Good Shepherd? What happens when sinners meet the Savior? What happens when hunger meets the bread of life? Or when thirst meets the water of life? What happens when those who are rejected in this world meet the incarnation of love? What happens when the dead meet Him who is the resurrection and the life? What happens is that the blind receive their sight. Sinners are forgiven. The hungry are filled and are satisfied. The lost are found. The lame leap for joy. The disconsolate and the downcast find hope again. Those who mourn are filled with joy, and the dead are raised, and the kingdom of God is inherited. Every healing miracle of our Lord, if you will just see it, is a foretaste of something so much bigger and so much better. This miracle portends the coming of eternal bliss, when every last vestige of sin will be done away with, and we shall be with the Lord forever. And that is your dollar's worth of teaching from a text that has $10,000 worth of God's Word. And by the way, when I say a dollar's worth of teaching, I don't mean that you should only put a dollar in the offering plate. We can do that. It's only a dollar's worth in comparison to what we could have talked about. But even that dollar's worth of God's Word is worth far more than all the gold or silver of this world. To know that bane, our problems in life, are not about punishment, but they are about God doing His work in us. To know that the blindness of the Spirit is not a condition that we can cure, but only the Holy Spirit can cure it, so our only role is to be His witnesses. To know that the bliss of our eternal home is the hidden message of this and of every miracle, that the day is coming when our healing will be complete and God will make everything, not just one blind man, but will make everything new again. These are the promises of God contained in the story of a man born blind who received his sight. In the precious name of our Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.